Second guest of the afternoon is on the line. He is Mike Stopforth. He is an interesting guy. He is a serial entrepreneur, speaker, facilitator, leadership expert, author, you name it. And in my hands is a book which he has just written called 52 Big Questions. We're going to dive into that book with the man who wrote it. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for talking to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
So how did this book happen and why?
The book was a result of a conversation that I had with a dear friend and fellow entrepreneur, Matt Janklow. We were away on a trip together and we were having a discussion about how overrated answers tend to be in the business world and how relentlessly we pursue answers, even sometimes with very poor information or limited data. And we started talking about the power of asking better questions and how doing so can open up possibility and open up conversation, connection, and collaboration. And it sparked the idea for a more formal piece of work, which initially was essentially the idea was a pack of cards that had questions on them that could sit on a boardroom table or be in a meeting room and that people could share with each other and use as a conversation starter. And that evolved into a book project, which thankfully a publisher was excited about working with. And here we are today.
How collaborative was it in terms of how many kinds of consultations did you have with business leaders in terms of arriving at this book, or was it a sort of a more of a solo project?
More solo, but I think important to mention that it was the result of many years of being extremely fortunate to be surrounded by amazing people who have asked me questions and that I've asked questions in turn, and the experiences of which have enabled me to kind of collect over the years a couple of really interesting provocations that have been hugely helpful in my professional journey and my personal journey. But I did need a team to help me get it over the line, and was grateful to work with some really talented editors, some project managers who helped me make sure that it did get done by deadline. I suppose all projects of significance are always a team effort.
Mike, I haven't read the book. I have glanced through the book. It's very interesting. I opened on question 19, how do I respond when somebody challenges me? I thought there must be a guiding hand that I got to that particular question. It's funny how some questions are going to resonate with some people and others with others. What's the one that resonated with you the most?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many questions in there that have played such a significant role in my journey to date. One of the best questions I've ever been asked,
yes.
A really piercing question, was if you had to divide your personal or professional journey into chapters titled Before and After, what would the event be that separates them and why? It's just one of those questions that stops you in your tracks and forces you to think about your life at a different level of depth. And I love those kinds of questions because I don't think those are questions that we often stop to think about. They're certainly not questions we ask each other. And that's exactly why I think this book has an important role to play in the world. I think we've perhaps lost the art, Simon, of asking each other good questions.
I just think it's terrifying. You could be responsible for, you know, ending family relationships. You could ask the wrong question and think, goodness me, I want to be climbing a mountain in Nepal on a motorbike. You know, you don't know what people are going to do and which way they're going to. What's
luckily
missing?
It's not called 52 Big Questions for Couples. That might be another edition down the line, but I went with the safer route of business leaders for now.
That
yeah.
was very, very smart. So let's stick with that because interesting thought this. Do you have a real life example where asking the right question has changed the outcome of a business decision?
Oh, certainly. So I have innumerable examples, I think, both from my personal experience and then the anecdotal experience of my fellow entrepreneurs and business partners. But I know of many instances in my personal capacity where simply asking that question of my team or asking a question of a partner or a colleague has radically changed the direction that we were going to take. And again, because it forces you to look for better information, it forces you to search for for better data. I had the privilege of working with a company in London a couple of months ago who pride themselves in marketing their business as a data-led organization, a data-led thinking business. And my interviews with some of their staff were very revealing before the workshop that I conducted with the executives, because what they said was, yes, absolutely. We're data-led as long as the data reinforces the decision we were already going to
Ooh,
make.
ooh, ooh,
And
ooh.
that's true for many of us, isn't it? That we use information that suits the decision that we were probably already going to make, or we'll ask questions that we know the answers to already because it reinforces an idea we already had or an assumption that we already held to be true. And any data often that doesn't support that belief or that view of the world, we call bad data or bad information. So there's real discipline, I think, in engaging in figures, facts, data, information that potentially forces us to rethink our position, rethink our strategy, rethink our assumptions about the world and about the people that we work with in it.
This is interesting stuff, man. Really interesting stuff. I'm thinking the importance of making quick decisions. I mean, if you're in the corporate world, things happen very quickly. Occasionally, you'll have to make a really quick decision. Still time for the process to ask the questions?
I think so, but I think asking good questions becomes a habit. So I think it's a muscle that you develop over time. I think we assume that we all ask questions and ask them well because it's something that we've always done. But we've also always run, right? I use this analogy a lot, this metaphor. We all of us ran as kids. We ran all over the place. We ran from the bedroom to the bathroom to the lounge to the kitchen. But when you run later on in your adult life, you learn that if you just run instinctively, it tends to result in injuries. So then you learn that you need to get the right equipment and you need to work on your technique, you need to work on your gait. And as natural as asking questions can feel, it's a skill that needs to be developed and honed and worked on and appreciated. And I think it's a profoundly underappreciated skill, specifically in the business world. And that's why I'm excited about it.
It's really interesting. I don't even know what my question is here. I'm just thinking of it, the issue. The issue is who you asking the questions to. Are you asking the questions to a group of white men aged 50? Are you asking the questions to a multicultural group of people of different ages? Surely that's got massive bearings on the kind of answers you're going to get.
Yeah, Simon, well, that's a really important point because I am a middle-aged white male, and it's really important to me that any book of consequence that is positioned as a tool, which I hope it will be for business leaders, is a tool for anyone that identifies as a business leader. So I asked many people to read the early manuscripts to go, in what ways are these questions, or could these questions be phrased better to be more inclusive and more considered of a broader base of people that don't come from my worldview or my reality? So there's obviously a lot of content in there, specifically in the section introduction. So there's different sections in the book. There's leadership and vision, people and culture, strategy and innovation, and so on and so forth. And each of those section introductions has got a lot of personal storytelling and anecdotes from my business journey. But the questions themselves, I hope, could be read and discussed by anyone that identifies as a leader in business, even somebody who is starting at the beginning of their professional journey and wants to be a leader should be able to ask those questions in and have just as impactful outcomes as were the case if I asked them or anybody else asked them at the same time.
It's so interesting because presumably the guy at the top is quite an A-type personality, pretty confident in himself and his decision making. And here you're asking him to go out and take advice from others who he probably doesn't think are quite on the same level as himself, to herself. Do you think, in your experience, that leaders find it harder to ask the questions of themselves or of others?
I think both is really tough, especially for leaders who've become really sure of their approach, their view of the world, their specific organizational strategy. The more sure you are about anything, the harder it is to question its validity. But the argument I make in the book is that I don't think the world is getting any simpler. I don't think it's getting any more predictable. I don't think it's getting any easier to create value. And because of those realities, I think it's worth engaging in nuanced and difficult problems at a deeper level, because sometimes our instinctive answers, our heuristics, the intuition that we've developed over time doesn't actually serve us as much as we would hope it would. Sometimes gut is not enough. And I think that if we want to consider building impactful, sustainable, robust, meaningful businesses that have a broader impact on the world and our own and the future of the people around us that we care about, we have to think about it in more complex ways and more nuanced ways. And that's why I think questions are a powerful tool for doing that.
Mike, that's taken us exactly to 4 o'clock. Thanks for your time this afternoon, and thanks for chatting to us on Chai.